Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I am Andrew DeWolf.
And I'm Brianna Jones.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew and Bri to like musical theater. How are we doing today, my guys?
Well, you know, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm doing terrible.
Why? Oh,
why is that, Jess?
My boyfriend left me because he doesn't like the fact that I don't look like Jackie Kennedy and I look more like Marilyn Monroe. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get into fucking Harvard and I'm going to stalk him.
Man, that's going to be really easy to do. I hear Harvard's an extremely easy school to get into.
What, like it's hard?
You know what you should do is you should send them softcore porn and then they'll let you in.
That's how I got into college.
Me too.
Legally Blonde the musical.
Oh my god, you guys. Looks like Elle's gonna win the prize. Shh. If there ever was a perfect couple, this one was. Shh. Oh my god.
Guys, I'm serious.
Elle and Warner were meant to be. Not once ever has he hit on me.
Shut up.
They're just like that couple from Titanic. Only no one died.
Oh my god.
2, 3, 4.
Daughter of Delta New, soon to be fiancé.
This show really should suck ass.
But it doesn't.
It's weird. It doesn't make sense.
Legally Blonde is a 2007 musical with music and lyrics by Lawrence O'Keefe and Neil Benjamin, and a book by Heather Hack. The story is based on the novel Legally Blonde by Amanda Brown and the 2001 film of the same name. It tells the story of Elle Woods, a sorority girl who enrolls in Harvard Law School to win back her ex-boyfriend Warner. She discovers how her knowledge of the law can help others and successfully defends exercise queen Brooke Wyndham in a murder trial. Throughout the show, no one has faith in Elle Woods, but she manages to surprise them when she defies expectations while trying to stay true to herself. Legally Blonde premiered on the pre-Broadway tryouts in San Francisco, California, in April of 2007. The show moved to Broadway, opening to mixed reviews and disappointing sales. Jerry Mitchell directed and choreographed. The original cast starred Laura Bell Bundy as Elle, Christian Borle as Emmett, and Richard H. Blake as Warner. It received 7 Tony nominations and 10 Drama Desk nominations, but did not win any. The West End production opened in January of 2010 at the Savory Theater. The West End production was nominated for 5 Laurence Olivier Awards and won 3, including Best New Musical Award. The musical was recorded in September of 2007 and aired on MTV in October of 2007. Following this, a reality television program was aired showing the audition process for the next person to play Elle Woods on Broadway. The winner was Bailey Hanks, who played the role from July 23, 2008 until the production closed on October 19, 2008. The runner-up, Autumn Herbert, was Hanks' understudy. So, all that history. Andrew, what'd you think of the show?
I was expecting it to be okay, and it met expectations.
I'd say it exceeded expectations. I think it's better than okay.
I think it's pretty good. And it's like an actual okay, like an actual, like, not bad. I kind of enjoyed it in some parts. I kind of didn't enjoy it in some parts. And, you know, that's it.
How does this rank next to Heathers, which is the other musical that these guys have written the music for?
Honestly, I don't remember a ton of Heathers.
Homie.
I think it was okay, right? That was a decent show, if I remember
correctly.
Yeah,
it's really good. I remember the only thing he didn't like was that it was not embracing the murdery aspects enough.
Well, yeah, and I can always stand behind that, and I think that this show doesn't have nearly enough murders either, considering Patrick Bateman is one of the main characters. But, like, you know, I think that this one is pretty good as well.
I love this musical. I love it a lot more than I expected to.
I think my main complaint with it is the music gets kind of samey, and I think a lot of, like, rock/pop musicals fall into that, where it's just, like, all this music kind of sounds the same. There's a few standout songs, but not enough.
I disagree, but we'll talk about that later. Bree, did you ever watch the Legally Blonde film when you were in your developing age?
I think. I feel like I've had to see... have seen it, but I don't remember.
I've never seen it.
So I just saw it like 2 weeks ago, right before I watched this musical. In fact, watching the movie triggered me to watch the musical. And I avoided it for so long because Reese Witherspoon looks way too much like Emily Clark, friend of the show. And so every time I was watching her, I'd be like, oh, that's just Emily. That's weird. I don't like this. But the movie is fun, early 2000s, like, romantic comedy fare. And really, I think that Reese Witherspoon deserved an Oscar for that performance. I thought she was really good. So that is my take there. Andrew, what is the plot of Legally Blonde? Please describe it for the court.
Okay. Have you ever seen a romantic comedy movie?
Let's say no, I haven't.
But really, there's a girl who is... You know, everyone thinks she is the typical blonde, and she kind of acts as such. And her boyfriend breaks up with her because she's not, quote-unquote, serious enough. And he goes to Harvard, where we find out later that he's dating a different girl. And I think that's probably why he went to Harvard in the first place. But she decides the best course of action is to follow him there and show that she is serious enough. And then she turns out that she's actually a good lawyer and she solves a case. And really, her true love was the friend she met along the way. So,
you know what? Fair. Can't fight with that. Can I say that, Andrew, did you notice that we had Marvin from Falsettos in this musical?
I didn't notice. Who was he?
That is the question now, isn't it? This is to set up my joke. He played Emmett Forrest, her boyfriend.
Yes.
Her love interest. But Marvin was also playing Callahan, her teacher, because that is the original Broadway Marvin from the original version. So we've got two Marvins, too many Marvins, guys. And this one also commits an assault on a woman. So that's fun.
I feel like one Marvin was already too many, but yeah.
Yeah. That's my joke. There's too many Marvins in the show.
Too many Marvins, guys. We did it. Too many Marvins.
did any of this like break your suspension of disbelief, like, of how things would actually happen?
I mean, it's going into it, you know what it is like. There's no way that any of this would ever happen in real life because it just doesn't make any goddamn sense.
What part?
All of it.
No, you have to tell me what doesn't make sense.
Okay, well, let's just start with her getting into Harvard.
Why? Because she's a woman?
Yeah, that's exactly why. No, because she doesn't have any interest in law, knows literally nothing about it, and just shows up and sings a song. She doesn't even write a paper for them.
That is a change from the movie that I agree with you specifically about. In the movie, she sends in an essay in form of a video.
Yeah, a video essay, which I don't think she'd get into Harvard that way either, but... I feel like it's a little more likely, actually, than showing up in person and singing a song.
Yes. But it's a musical, and that's one of those things where you can adjust your fair.
And I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all. You're asking me specifically what is not believable. I'm not complaining. I don't care. I think it was fun when she showed up and sang a song. Whatever.
That dance she does when she gets in there is like... You can tell how exhausted it was because after it's done, she's like trying to catch her breath to sing the rest of the song.
I like when the other guys start singing with her, like the Harvard guys.
Yes.
Well, they don't sing. They start dancing with her. Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
Fun thing. And like that song immediately just charms you into this world. But also this is very smart in the way that it becomes a musical. Like, you have all of her sorority sisters throughout the show as her Greek chorus, which I think is a brilliant just musical theater idea, and I had a lot of fun with that.
It's also a funny pun because, you know, Greek chorus and Greek sorority houses.
It's funny. It is really, really good. This is written by very smart people, and there's never a moment where you think Elle is dumb. There's a couple moments in the movie where Reese Witherspoon is asked to portray Elle much dumber than she inevitably is. Here, she's smart from the get-go.
Yeah, she's just a Silicon Valley girl, right? And like that's kind of it.
Yeah,
right?
Basically. Like, but she's got a 4.0 legitimately. And they're like, "Yeah, in fashion school." Like, what the, like that isn't hard.
Yeah, like, come on. It's still a 4.0. Like, you know, shut your mouth.
Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of one thing that most people don't understand about law school is, like, Andrew, you have a degree, right?
Sort of.
Bree, you have a degree. I have a degree.
Yes. I have two.
All three of us can go to law school. We just need to have a basic bachelor's degree, and it can be in fucking anything, and you can go to law school.
Yep. I should do that.
No, you shouldn't.
I mean, I've thought about it, to be honest. I really do want to research copyright law, so that is honestly something I have thought about.
Only 2 years.
Lawyers are inherently immoral, and you should never be one.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can't fight that. But also, I love fighting with other people. That's basically why we have this show.
Yeah, sure, but it's not the same as being a lawyer.
I mean...
A lawyer, you're not arguing with someone. You're arguing that the system agrees with you, which
basically,
is a different
you're
thing.
Trying to find research that follows your precedent.
Yes, but it doesn't matter if the precedent is moral or not. It just matters if it's legal. So basically, fuck lawyers.
Yeah, Andrew right here. Fuck lawyers and fuck anyone that wants to be a lawyer. Your dreams are stupid.
Your dreams suck. You should be an artist like everyone else.
Yeah, be an artist like all three of us.
It won't get you anywhere, trust me. Speaking of which, what do you think of all the weird lawyer characters? Are those in the movie?
Like, what do you mean?
The guy that's like, I only want to be a lawyer because I already did everything else and my yachts are getting boring.
More or less. They're types. The one I find really offensive both in the movie and in this musical is the lesbian character.
Yeah, the Greenpeace person.
Where she just wants fuck all the time.
Is that what she wants in this? They never mentioned that.
Like, isn't she, like, super horny for, like, every girl she sees?
I don't remember that in the musical at all.
That might be in the film, then. I just remember that rubbing me the wrong way, either way.
In the musical, it's more just that she's, like, you know, very liberal girl, feminist power.
Which I think is a better way to spin it. But then we get to other homophobic shit later.
Yeah, and she oddly isn't against that, so I don't know. What do the woke people call that? White feminism? Yippee?
Yeah. She's a TERF, probably. Yeah, I'm willing to bet she's a TERF.
It's like the 2000s. I'm sure they're all TERFs.
Yeah. I'm surprised there were no jokes about, like, transsexuals or, like, oh, is that really a man? Oh.
Ask the witness what his shoe size was, and they prove that he's actually not a man at all.
They go full Ace Ventura.
Yep. Instead, they prove he's gay, you know, so that's better.
Yeah, it's better, like, legally. Like, if you're gay.
If you're gay.
Like, I love how this musical just forgets that bi people exist.
Well, that's this musical's not the only thing that forgets that bi people exist.
What do you mean?
You know, like, the whole fucking world all the time? Come on, Jess. Wake up. You're not woke enough for me.
Maybe. I didn't forget bi people exist. Are you blaming me for this?
All right. I'm blaming you for this. Did you write this show? Fuck you.
I did not. I'm just saying, you can fuck men and women and, you know, they can exist and it's not legally binding.
But you know who you really can't fuck? UPS. You can't fuck UPS. Isn't it weird that there's a character that's so turned on by a company in this movie? In this musical? Pardon me.
It's also in the movie, but yeah, you cannot fuck the general idea of UPS. Actually, I disagree. You can. Donald Trump's doing it right now.
I really found it kind of... I did not like that he never takes the UPS suit off. We never see him in anything other than the UPS clothes.
It's just a really weird kink that she has where no matter what, he has to be wearing that.
Well, it's kind of a really weird kink that I have that I don't like blatant fucking advertising.
Man, my kink is not being marketed to. Gets so hard anytime they like take the wrappers off water bottles in movies. Oh, fuck yeah.
Dude, Tommy Wiseau turns me on so fucking much. Like when he fucking takes that water bottle and he throws it and it doesn't have a fucking, does not have a label on it. I'm like, fuck yes.
Same with like, what the fuck is the cool cat guy's name? Like Derek Savage?
Oh, Derek Savage. Ooh, baby.
Oh my God.
No, but like, seriously, can we not do the UPS thing? Like, come on.
Well, Andrew, do you think the bend and snap is a thing that would work?
No, it's not hot.
No. Bree, do you, as a woman, are you aware of the bend and snap?
Yes, I'm aware of the bend and snap.
Has that ever worked on any man ever?
The stupid ones.
Anything would work on them, though. You could just walk up and take your shirt off, and they'd be like, all right, let's go.
Titties! I'm baffled that it is basically a musical number in the movie itself. Like, the movie stops so they can be like, bend and snap. You show off the ass, then the tits.
Yeah. Then I don't know. It sounds like it was written by a man. Was it written by a man? The bend and snap song?
I don't know.
The bend and snap, the bend and snap song originated from the bend and snap scene from the movie. So let's see if the movie was written by a man. It was definitely directed by a man. Hey, it looks like it was written by two women. Good for them. Two white women, though. Or no.
I don't know if that matters. I'm just going to throw it out there that I think women sometimes can think weird things are empowering. And I guess maybe they think that that's empowering. I don't know.
But my question is, Brie, as a woman.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to frame this two different ways as our go-to woman tokenism on this show.
Yeah, Jess is bringing out the fucking libcuck shit. Let's go.
As a woman, what's your opinion?
I'm not doing that, but I kind of am. As a woman, have you ever done the bend and snap to like
try I've never to seen anyone actually do that.
No, I've definitely never done the bend and snap.
Do you have an equivalent to the bend and snap?
Do I have an equivalent to the bend and snap? No, I don't think so. No.
No.
I feel like I was afraid to talk to anything with a penis until I was 18. So
I'm still afraid to talk to anything with a penis. I'm not going to lie.
Any man I was afraid to talk
Jess,
to.
Jess, my eyes are up here.
I just can't stop staring at his dick. It's a problem.
No, but yeah, I did not like to talk to boys when I was young. So I was really awkward even until, like, I don't know, 21. So I just didn't know. I don't know. I didn't know how to be sexy. Sometimes I still don't know how to be sexy. So I feel like the bend and snap. Yeah, no.
The bend and snap is the female version of locker room talk. So.
Well, the next question is if a fella. If a fella used the bend and snap on you, would it work?
If who used the bend and snap on me?
If a UPS fella. Walked up to your door and they were like, bend and snap, you know, like...
with a gun, bend and snap, no!
They're like, I'm not going to give you your package until I bend and snap. I'd be like, wow, what a nice dance. Thank you.
UPS guy walks up to your door in the tightest shorts you've ever seen, and he says, I've got a huge package for you. I'm just going to need you to sign here, and he throws the pen on the ground. What do you do?
I sign for the package, and then I get my package, and I go inside.
What if he's gonna do an Irish dance for you? Like, then what?
I close my eyes really tight and wish.
He's dancing. His arms aren't moving, and he's dancing. Like, what do you do?
Stare at the ground.
I'm not gonna lie. This is made only more hilarious because Brie has a banana shirt on.
There's three bananas.
So you need three bend and snaps to get all three bananas.
Bend and snap. And bend dun, 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 and snap. Dun,
dun, dun, me banana.
Bend and snap and I'll get inside that.
That's terrible, Jess.
Okay, we've officially overstayed our welcome on the bend and snap
talk.
We have
time to move on.
Honestly, the bend and snap is so stupid anyways, but it's actually a major plot point.
What do you think of that entire subplot with the nail salon, the girl?
Okay, and why is she doing the bend and snap? She's trying to get
attention? She's trying to teach the nail salon lady how to get a man, and she's like, the best way to try to do it is to do the bend and snap. It works every time. And then it becomes an important plot point later when she discovers that a man is gay by doing the bend and snap, and he doesn't look.
Okay.
So basically, it's a major plot point because homophobia.
Yeah. So you like the secondary couple of the UPS man and the nail salon lady.
I like everything about it except for that he never takes his UPS suit off. But other than that, I'm okay with it.
Is there anything you actively do not like about this show?
I think the only thing I actively don't like about the show is the weird, like, gay plot and that kind of stuff, which is a bit off-putting.
It's strange that something that's, like, not even really, like, it's barely 10 years old.
I'm just...
It's, like, this dated.
The whole time I was just reminded of the ending of Ace Ventura, which I honestly, I often forget about the ending of Ace Ventura, and then I, like, something like this happens, and I'm like, right, right.
Bree, do you remember the ending of Ace Ventura?
No, I actually don't think I've seen it.
Andrew, please explain to Bree and the audience how Ace Ventura ends.
So Ace Ventura, they solve the crime by figuring out that the entire time this woman was actually a man the whole time.
And this woman, like, serially makes out with everyone, apparently.
Yeah. And it's in the actual ending, I think, is literally they take off the woman's pants. And there's, like, a crowd of people, and they throw up. This is, like, not even a joke. This actually happens, I'm pretty sure. Like, everyone is, like, horrifically disgusted, and they throw up, and that's the end of the movie. That's how they resolve the plot.
Because it was a trans woman that used to be a man, and that's so icky. What?
It's so icky, and, like, that's why that the crime is solved. Good job, Ace Ventura. You did it.
When was that movie made? 1994. Jesus.
It's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Nobody talks about it, though. Whenever I hear people talk about Ace Ventura, no one ever talks about the ending.
It's weird that both Ace Ventura movies are hella problematic. Have you ever seen the second one?
I have seen the second one. That's the one where there's, like, black people with, like, actual bones through their noses and shit, right?
Yeah, and there's, like, tribes and shit.
Yeah. Jim Carrey, what are you up to, man? What's going on?
anti-vaxxing. But what does Ace Ventura relate to the gay subplot of this story?
Okay, so it's not quite the same because this is more of a secondary win. It's not the final win.
No.
But they discredit a witness who is saying that he was
having an affair.
Yeah, having an affair with the defendant.
And as motive for murder.
Yes, so they're using that as motive for murder. And of course, the fucking woman who is the defendant doesn't have an alibi because it would hurt her career if she told them what she was doing, which is so stupid, but whatever. So Elle solves this whole scenario by finding the witness, doing the bend and snap, and noticing that he doesn't respond. And then they're like, well, now we know for certain he's gay. We just have to prove it. And that's it.
No, because the main lawyer is like, is he gay or is he European? And they're like debating like the Venn diagram of things between the gays and the Europeans.
Which is like even worse. But
yes.
They lampshaded a bit, though, because they have the Callahan character, like the head lawyer, say, like, well, I mean, we can't just come out and ask him because that would be homophobic. But it's like,
No, that line was not in the movie.
Yeah, but it's in here. So it's like they know and they lampshade it, but it's like, you're still doing it, though.
Like, no one even highlights, like, you know, bisexual people exist.
Yeah, it's like, what if he was having an affair with and is gay, like, at the same time? You know, like, that's like, is that not a possibility, like, at all? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, and this is, like, made a big funny joke song. It's worse than the movie because it's literally just Luke Wilson being like, hey, what's your boyfriend's name? Pedro. I mean, no, I don't have a boyfriend. I have a best friend. And then the guy gets up and like, oh, you slut. And I'm like, you didn't run this by your boyfriend beforehand that you were going to go perjure yourself in court?
Yeah, also, why didn't he stand up when he said that he had a girlfriend? Because he already had said that he was having an affair with this other
woman.
Yeah,
it's bad. They should have just come up with a whole new court case.
They should have just not used this scene, because this isn't even the thing that solves it. They don't really need this part, do they?
No, it's showing that Elle's using her blonde techniques to her advantage and not her smarts.
Yeah, well, no. And then they really solve it by basically she knows how a perm works, which, yeah, I don't know. I feel like they went so strong throughout Act 1, and then they start the court case, and it's like, No, don't do this.
What do you think of Emmett? Emmett Forrest. Fuck, I just got that. I'm such a dumbass. L. Woods, Emmett Forrest. Fuck me. God damn it.
Okay.
You get it? You get it?
Yeah, I get it. Emmett.
I hate it.
Emmett's fine. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of his whole, like, you wouldn't be poor if you just worked fucking harder shit that he does. Like, I don't know.
I mean, working hard can help you get above your station. Like, working hard can get you into, like, places. Not
yeah,
as easy.
But the framing,
I get the idea.
The framing is very neo-lib, you know what I'm saying?
I agree there.
It's fine. I think he's fine, though. As a character and as a couple, I think that they, you know, it's better than her ending up with fucking Warner.
They give him more character in this musical. In fact, a lot of the musical is spent characterizing him.
Yes.
Because in the movie, he's basically a Mary Sue. He shows up, says all the right things, treats her very nicely. I am very glad they sidestep, like, the second act breakup between them, because, like, yeah, he's like, oh yeah, you have no reason of lying to me about being sexually assaulted. I'm on your side, friend.
Yeah, that happens in the movie? What the fuck? I've not seen the movie still.
He's still very understanding, once again, Mary Sue, but the girlfriend, Warner's girlfriend, who was becoming besties with Al at this point, they have the breakup.
Oh, okay. Well, they kind of sidestep that by just having her not like her at all, ever.
Right, until the moment she likes her.
Yeah.
Where in the movie, they're kind of the main romance relationship. And it's actually really cute because at one point she just comes into Elle's room and she's like spilling the beans on Warner. He's like, you know, he got waitlisted from Harvard and his dad had to write a letter and shit, which really adds to like Elle's improvement. And I wish that scene had been in the musical in some form. But what? Who cares what we think? We need to hear what the critics think. It's time for Bree Views, everyone's favorite segment of our show.
Bree's Views. So Ben Brantley reviewed the show, stating, "This high energy, empty calories, and expensive looking hymn to the glories of girlishness, based on the 2001 film of the same title, approximates the experience of eating a jumbo box of gummy bears in one sitting. This may be common fare for the show's apparent target audience, female tweens and teenagers, who still believe in Barbie." I did not believe in Barbie as a teenager.
This is fucking scary.
What, is that like a fucking god for them? Right. Like, oh yeah, I believe in Barbie. She's going to save us from the socioeconomic situation we're in.
But unless you're used to such a diet, you wind up feeling jittery, glazed, and determined to swear off off sweets for at least a month. That's typically how I feel.
I hate Ben Brantley.
This guy,
he's such a piece of shit.
This guy is very fucking negative.
Yeah, that's how I feel after I smoke too much weed. It's true. Okay, so Clive Barnes of the New York Post states, "Heather Hatch's book, based on the screenplay and the original novel, Who Knew, by Amanda Brown, makes all the right moves and has a good feel for both fun and wit, even though theater necessarily lacks the open-ended possibilities of a movie. And unfortunately, the score never picks up the slack, although the lyrics by the husband and wife team, Lawrence O'Keefe and Nell Benjamin, are markedly sharper than their usual." Tim Walker wrote in the Sunday Telegraph, "It is a great, big, empty vessel of a show that makes a lot of noise and not much else, and would have been better entitled Irredeemably Bland. I was aware that the whole of the 2 hours and 25 minutes that it ran, I was sitting among a group of people with vacant smiles on faces that otherwise seemed entirely numbed. That was how I looked too. It is the expression that registers when what one is seeing doesn't entirely sync with what is going on in one's brain."
Who the fuck writes shit like
Jesus
that?
Christ, this guy needs to loosen his fucking fedora for a second. Like, holy hell.
Notice, like, Bree, as we keep doing these Bree View segments, almost none of the people you're reading from are women. They're all white gay men, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of think the middle review is the one I kind of agree with. The New York Post one?
Yeah.
The other two are like, holy hell, they're just so mean to it for no reason.
Some people would say the same thing about us, though. Like, we're mean to shows that we don't like.
True, true. I don't know if I've ever straight up insulted a show by just saying that tweens like it and tweens still believe in Barbie and blah.
Yeah, that is super diminishing. But that's par for the course for Ben Brantley. I think I brought this up briefly when we covered Spider-Man a year or two ago. But he, like Glenn Berger, who was the book writer of Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, described him as like an evil succubus ripping out any like love that he has of life.
Oh my God.
Ben Brantley is a really mean person and he prides himself on that. And that makes when he's gives good reviews mean even more. And it's always surprising the ones that he gives like good reviews to, like SpongeBob the Musical.
Yeah, that's especially with this review.
Yeah.
Like you're going to give SpongeBob a good. I would say that this is a better structured show than the SpongeBob musical is, in my opinion anyways.
I agree. But that's kind of where I sit. Like, I don't believe in reviews in general, like even when it comes to film and stuff. I like aggregates, but the thing is, so much pressure is put onto the New York Times review, one person's opinion on one night of one show, that it can literally kill an entire show in one page of text, and it's bullshit, and I hate it. Yeah. And that's kind of why I started the section Breview, so we can kind of be like, fuck you. Fuck yeah. You, New York Times. Fuck you, Ben Brantley. Fuck you, people that are being unfairly, like, and this isn't like you said a mean thing about a show I liked. It's not even that. It's just you coming in from the snobbish attitude, and we're kind of the anti-snob musical theater show.
And even, you can even see the snobbery, like, right there. I mean, just talking about who the show's target audience is and using that as a point as to why it's bad. Like, okay, so the target audience is female tweens and teenagers, and that's, for some reason, a reason why the show is bad. It's like, what, are they not allowed to enjoy shows? They're not allowed to be a show that's targeted towards them and they're allowed to enjoy? Like fuck off. Fuck
and you know
off.
Another show that had that exact same response and like closed likely because of it?
What?
I know you didn't like the show, but I did. Be More Chill.
You know, I didn't hate that show though. And honestly, again, what we are doing here are not reviews. And if we don't like a show, that's not us saying that like it shouldn't fucking exist and no one is allowed to enjoy it. I mean,
even shows that we are negative on, I don't think we'd even call them bad shows most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I might call a few shows bad shows. Namely, like, something like Will Rock You or something like that, where it's like,
yeah, but we can count on like one hand all the shows that's like. Like, Dear Evan Hansen is probably the only one that's popping to mind that I'm like, that's a dangerous show that probably shouldn't exist.
Yeah, and even that, I can kind of see why some people would enjoy it, and I don't know if I'd be like, this shouldn't exist at all. I don't know. I didn't like that show, obviously. I don't know. Reviews are... I don't like reviews as a concept. And I think...
No.
I think that reviews have really been soured for me because I used to kind of buy into reviews, and online reviewing was very cringy. And of course, when I was a little kid, I didn't know that. But
you're a little baby boy.
Yeah, but now that I'm not a little baby boy, I look back on that and I'm like, man, all those, it was just negativity. It's just straight up negativity for no fucking reason, you know?
Like, even things that, like, I still sometimes enjoy, like Red Letter Media or some shit. It's like, yeah, you hopped onto the, like, negativity train, and it's a
I would say
kind of hard to watch
with them. They aren't always so straight up negative for no reason other than just to be negative, though. And even they, like, their better shows play up like, yeah, these are bad shows, but we enjoy them kind of thing, so.
But then you've got things that I enjoy and, like, are friends of the show, and I'm not bad talking them. Christy from Musical Hell. She is great. I love what she does. But she doesn't just tear things down to tear them down. Sometimes she is given easy targets and she's like looking for the negatives, but she also tries to give a fair, even-headed review of it. It's not just...
Oh, you said the name. Don't say the name. Cut that out.
Fuck that guy.
Bleep that out. Can you bleep that?
Yeah, bleep that. Actually, bleep that. Only the people on Patreon will know what I really said.
Okay.
I think we need to go into a mid-show.
Yes, we do.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Hey, sorry to interrupt in the middle of the show, but we got shill at you. Today's show is brought to you by extremely kind donations by our donors over at Patreon. On Patreon, we have a bunch of stuff. We have monthly get-togethers where Jess gets way too drunk and then calls everyone stupid. That happened. I'm sorry still. We've got a bunch of brand new tiers. You could even become a guest on the show if you pay enough money. That's a brand new tier. Or you can have us read whatever you want for another tier. There's a lot of options here. Also, we've got our Patreon-only podcast about Fosse Verdon. We got a commentary coming up. I think it might be up right now of Oliver and Company, which is pretty neat.
Solid movie, sort of.
Yeah, and we got a lot more plans in the work. Andrew, do you want to talk about merch for a brief moment?
Oh, yeah. We've got a merch store now, thanks to Jess's hard work, and I will be trying to advertise it. We've got shirts.
If you go to our website, there will be a tab that says merch. That will take you right there. Musicalswithcheese.com. Yeah.
Musicalcheesewith.com. Go there. So we got shirts with a couple different styles. We got, like, what is it? We got the logo. We have What Cheese Are You? We have Dear Cast Boy, which is a good one. We've got a blanket. We've got tote bags. We got coffee cups, I think. We have everything. Just deck out your whole house with us, because we're great.
Our current patrons are that are helping us pay Brie and make this entire thing possible are Terry Needleman, Max Lunig, Benjamin Lehrer, Lily Ackles, Jess the Stampede, Ewan Cassidy, Haley McDonald, Taskier, Fire September, Mina Maniri, Monica Thoreau, Brent Black, Haley Murray, Allison Wonderwood, B-Way Flicks, Lathaniel, Stacey Coom, Luna Rocks 222, Irigale Drouet Whiter, Carrie Ahern, Christine Malmedel, Mary Lou Choquette, Ann Nunnally, Cole Birchfield, John Vanels, Holly Stistically, Ross Walker, Musical Hell, Emily Grace, Andrew Van Barson, Emily Stack, Kyle Summers, Mr. B, Janae C, Kyle, Christina Francis, Jessica A, Skylar, Liz Lim, Corey Wilmarth, Allison Stuller, Nothing Is Certain Except Beth and Taxes, Ren Cullen Thespian with a B, Elizabeth Lovengood, Victoria Tribble, Alex, Joseph Evans Green, Wait in the Wings, Jamie Holland, and Spectacle Machine. They give us a little extra financial support that helps us keep the lights on here and keep Brie employed. Brie, you're not homeless at the moment because of them, right?
You are correct. I have a house to live in because of them. I can pay my rent, is basically.
You can spade your dog.
I can, that poor dog.
All right, let's get back to the show. Oh my god, oh my god, you guys. Yeah, that's a great opening number, guys.
This dress needs to seal the deal, make a grown man kneel. But it can't come right out and say bride. Can't look like I'm desperate or like I'm waiting for it. I gotta leave Warner his pride. So pride is more. Guys, all this week I've had butterflies. Every time he looks at me, it's totally proposalized. Oh my god, you guys!
Oh my god.
So proudly dressed for my fairy tale. Can't wear something I bought on sale.
Love is like forever, this is no time to economize. Oh my god, you guys!
I mean, it's a little bit too gummy bears for me. You know, if you like to eat an entire thing of gummy bears in one sitting, maybe you'll enjoy this song. But honestly, I could do something a little more serious.
Okay, Warner. Beta cuck.
handful of almonds.
I am not a beta. I'm a Chad Alpha.
I think this song is so much fun and a great opening number.
No, it's fun. I like that they bring it back a few times. It's fun. It's a good theme.
I'm glad they didn't like call it something uber dated or like OMG, you guys, like, because that was gonna get dated like super quick. I mean, oh my god, is like
it's so a little perfect. Dated anyways, but it's fine.
I mean, I like the fact that it kind of builds up Elle a bit, and it serves as her I want song for, like, I just want to get engaged, I want this. And it shows very quickly, like, yeah, she's blonde, yeah, she's all about fashion, but she's not dumb. She's, like, won't be scammed, and, like, she is obviously the most smartest and put together of all of her friends.
Yes, and she knows a good deal at the store, you know? That's important.
Yeah, and that's a good setup for, like, what we're going to see her adventure go through. I also really want to talk about the performance of Laura Bell Bundy, who really made this her own. Like, she is not doing a Reese Witherspoon impression at all. She is much more goofy, in a way. Goofy without being dumb. Like, I want to say it's a lot like Brie, where Brie is a goofball, but she's, like, one of the smartest people I've ever met.
That's very nice of you.
You know, I had a prediction early on, because I watched this with my girlfriend. And
how'd
I
she like it?
She thought it was pretty good. But I had a prediction early on that she was going to solve the case at the end using her knowledge of fashion. And I really fucking wish they had done that.
They kind of did.
They didn't, though. They used her knowledge of seducing men, which wasn't brought up early on, really. It was more...
They used the perm thing to solve
I guess.
You never take a shower after you get a perm, Andrew. Fuck.
I mean, I've never gotten a perm, and I don't know anything about fashion, and I could have guessed that.
But you didn't!
And neither
did Elle Woods did.
Any of the detectives, or the judges, or the jury. And...
Let's talk about Sirius.
Since I was 2 or 3, my life was planned out neat. I'd get my law degree.
Yeah.
In my Senate seat, a big white house back east, all of the amenities, 3 kids at least, just like the Kennedys. Here's where
our lives begin.
Just where do you fit in?
Let me in.
I'll break it down now, baby. So, baby, give me your hand.
Here's my hand. Here's my hand.
I've got some dreams to make true.
We both have dreams to make true.
I know that you'll understand.
I actually really liked this song. I thought this was one of the better songs.
Fucking what?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I really enjoyed it. They like the build up to what you kind of know is coming, but he's doing it in such a fucking backhanded way. I thought it was really funny. And then it just he drops the thing and she keeps going.
I guess that is like a perfect Andrew DeWolf musical joke.
Yeah, it's funny. He builds up and then like he's singing and what he said, like when he just says we should break up, it doesn't even like go with the melody or rhyme or anything. It's just like the song is building to something else and he's just like, we should break up.
It's building to an engagement. So it works better if you haven't seen the movie. Like,
which I had not.
You know?
I had not seen the movie. So I think it's great. I thought that was really funny.
I like it. I guess I don't like it because it's just a painful to listen to song because it is kind of like the Office style cringe.
I guess. I don't know. I think it's still funny.
Because I just legitimately feel bad for Elle.
But you really shouldn't, though, because, I mean, Warner's an asshole, and you shouldn't feel bad for her for not getting to be with him. I mean, if he had engaged her, it would have been a much worse scenario for her.
Yeah, I get it. I agree with you. I don't think it should be the second song of the show, though.
Yeah, the placement, maybe not. I do like the song, though.
I think that's mostly why it throws me off. Like, even if you just put, like, Daughter of Delta Nu, just so we have, like, a little break, because it goes right from, oh my god, you guys, right into this. Like, they're, like, when that song ends, we're already in the restaurant where he breaks up with her.
Yeah, but you have to set up that, you have to set up what she wants, and it's to get engaged with this guy, and then you have to set up that to get engaged with this guy, she has to do all this weird shit.
Yes, but I also think I kind of need to spend a little more time with Elle alone, if that makes sense, before we get to this scene. And I think that's mostly the reason why this scene feels weird to me.
All right. I thought it was a funny song, though.
It is a funny song. I'm not disagreeing with a single word you're saying. just make that clear. What you want?
What you want, Warner, what you want is me. But you need to see me in a brand new domain. Well, it's plain, Warner, in a different setting. You will see you're getting all of this plus a brain. I'll meet you there in Harvard with a book in my hand. Big sturdy book, big wordy book, full of words I'll understand and write. There is where you'll see it too. Warner, what you want is right in front of you.
What you want
is clear.
What you want.
This song is fun, and it's like 10-20 minutes long. It's like so long, and I love every second of it, and it just keeps building and building until it's like a cacophony of people dancing and flipping all around, and every time it's like building to like her saying she's doing this for love.
Yeah, and then everybody dances, and then she gets into Harvard, and you know what? It's all good.
But it also shows that she put the work into it. Like, she passed the LSAT.
Yeah, by one point. They did say that it was by one point, though.
Well, that one point is, like, next to, like, perfection, like, basically.
She did good.
Like, that's Harvard standards. Like, just passing the LSAT is much lower.
She did really good. Good shit.
She did. Yeah. And I think that she, like, if she didn't... The problem I mostly have with Elle Woods as a character is I don't think she has any passion for doing law. Even after she, like, wins the case and shit, I still don't think that's really what her passion is.
They try to like, spin it that she does because, oh, she realizes that law is just helping people. But it's like, didn't you listen to the Blood in the Water song? Like, that's not what law is.
That's a perfect transition, Andrew.
Now, when you choose a law career, the moment you embark, there is that joke you're bound to hear, a lawyer is a shark. Ignore that, it's simplistic and it's dumb. Only some of you will turn out sharks, just some. The rest are chum. Our topic is blood in the water. Kids, it's time you faced. Law school is a waste. Oh yes, unless you acquire a taste for blood in the water. Dark and red and raw, you're nothing until the thrill of a kill becomes your only law.
I love this song. I love this song a lot.
Oh yeah, this is the best moment that Callahan has in the whole show. And it's, I think it's actually a very good song, and it really makes you hate lawyers, which is good with me.
It's the most, like, classical musical theater here. This is, like, the least poppy song in here, and it's very lyrically based.
Yeah. I think they kind of build into it with the Harvard variations, where they kind of do a little bit of a less poppy melody in that.
Yes, and I like that song, too, but that feels more like a dirge.
Yeah, but then they follow into it with this and keep the... this is like, oh, this is what Harvard is really like, versus Elle's, like, ridiculous... eating too many gummy bears in one sitting, pop, you know?
But Blood in the Water is possibly the most lyrically genius of all the songs. Like, this is where it's like I'm laughing because of the change in rhyme and all that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, I feel like he seems comically evil, where he is just kind of like a normal teacher guy in the movie, and that's like my big downfall here, because it really is shocking when he does try to do the sexual assault in the movie, because he seems like just a nice guy that's a lawyer.
To be honest, I'm gonna say I still think it was kind of shocking when he did the sexual assault thing for someone who has not seen the movie. I didn't really see it coming, because genuinely I think that how they're trying to portray him here is just as a a lawyer who doesn't care about anything but fucking being a lawyer. And I think that that fits here. It's not like he's comically evil in this song in, like, I'm gonna fucking molest my students kind of way. He's just...
Right.
He's just a lawyer.
Yeah. And it sounds like a pure villain song in the same way as a Disney villain song. Like, it feels Disney villain-esque.
Yeah. And if anything, I thought he was going to be more of a villain in that he's not going to let L win the case because he's not going to get money out of it or something like that, you know?
Yeah, that makes more sense instead of he's an evil rapist.
Yeah. But at the same, it's not like I don't buy that he'd be an evil rapist.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't buy it in the movie only because he was played by Victor Garber, who is like one of the most nicest men in the world.
Yeah, but here it's Marvin and it's like, okay, whatever.
Marvin, who openly like beat his two lovers in falsettos.
Yeah, so I mean, I buy it. all right, can we talk about Ireland?
I guess, if you really want to.
Isn't that relaxing? It's called
Celtic Moods!
When I'm lonely or feeling dejected, I play this and it never fails. I pretend like I'm in Ireland with Enya and the Wales. When my telephone gets disconnected, or I spend every night alone, I pretend like I'm in Ireland where the Irish bagpipes drone.
I just want to say that this song makes no fucking sense at all.
I don't disagree.
Like, what the fuck? It's just like
it's
a song.
Fun. It's charming.
It's just a song about how this woman likes fucking Celtic music, I guess.
Don't you?
I kind of do. I think they talk about Celtic women, and I'm like, yeah, I kind of listen to them. They're not bad.
I think they just wanted to do, like, at least one, you know, pastiche song that wasn't, like, you know, pop gummy bear.
Yeah. But, I don't know. It's just weird. It doesn't make a ton of sense. But I guess we get the clog dancing later on, so it's all good. River dancing, pardon me.
Yes, river dancing. Let's talk about So Much Better, the Act One closer.
Maybe she's what you prefer, but hey, last year I was her. Maybe you will change your mind, but you might look up to find. I've gone on to better things, better jobs, and bigger rings. I don't have the time to cry. I'm too busy loving my name up on that list. Kind of a cool ironic twist. Who else can I tell? Who whispers myself? Mom will fall on the floor. Hey, Mom, look at my name.
What do you have to say?
This is the best song in the show.
You think so?
Yes, easily.
Better than Oh My God, You Guys?
That's a great opening number, but yeah, So Much Better is so much better.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is a fine song. I think it's a fun way to end Act 1, you know? And it's good to have that nice big number for the ending of Act 1, too. I like when they do that.
Let's say story-wise, it makes sense because... And it's interesting and different than how most Act 1 ends... Because most Act 1s end with, like, a huge conflict getting in the way, and it's usually on a very low note. Like, something bad happened, and you're gonna have to see what happens in Act 2. You're gonna want to come back and see what happens. Here it's, like, an ultimate high. Like, she gets to be on this big case, and she's so excited about it, and you very rarely see someone, like, excited, the character's excited for what's gonna happen in Act 2 just as much as you are, because you want to see this character succeed. And that's just something you don't see very often in musicals. Like, can you recall a time? I mean, look at Parade. Like, that ends with him being, like, losing his court case and being sentenced to death. That's Act 1.
Yeah, but the Act 2 closer in Parade is a lot worse.
The KKK starts up after he gets hung by the neck in a lynching. Parade is a hilarious comedy, by the way.
It is. It's a very funny comedy.
Written by the only member of the Jason Robert Brown fan club, Jason Robert Brown.
And also the funniest man alive. Reincarnation of both Abbott and Costello.
Hilarious. And his opinion on WAP by Cardi B.
Oh,
and
wet,
other
wet
people.
Ass P word? Is that the one?
Yes, yes, as Ben Shapiro calls it. Who was the second funniest man alive?
Yeah. Can we get those two in the same room together and just have them
fuck,
talk
yes.
about WAP?
Yes, please get Ben Shapiro and Jason Robert Brown in the same room.
And just, I just want to hear them talk about wet ass P word.
Yes. In fact, Twitter at them right now and
or,
say that y'all.
Or they can talk about their Jewish heritage. I mean, that would be funny as well, right? No, not funny. That wouldn't be funny.
I guess we got to talk about there, right there, which is the gay or Puerto Rican song.
Oh, yeah.
Or European.
Not okay, by the way.
No, not okay. Like the opposite of okay.
Gay or European. It's hard to guarantee. Is he gay or European?
Well, hey, don't look at me.
You see, they bring their boys up different in those charming foreign ports. They play peculiar sports
in shiny shirts and tiny shorts. Gay or foreign fella, the answer could take weeks. They both say things like ciao bello while they kiss you on both cheeks.
Oh, please.
Gay or European, so many shades of gray.
Depending on the time of day, the French go either way.
Is he gay or
It's kind of interesting that that's the title of it.
Yeah,
same
I thought,
way that
I thought it'd be called gay not or European or something.
Well, the thing is, they don't want to ruin the joke in the title of the song. That's why the song from Wicked, that should be called Loathing, is called What Is This Feeling, so they don't ruin the joke of it being loathing. So that's a commonplace thing in musical theater titles where they'll hide the actual chorus name and call it something else.
To get the joke across?
Yes, so that you're still laughing at the joke even if you listen to the read the cast recording names.
I wasn't laughing at the joke, though, is the problem.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I
mean,
this song
it's not that funny. Just saying that he's either gay or European isn't a joke.
Yeah. Stop well, right there in the name of the law. You've broken all comedy rules.
It's sad that we're ending on such a bummer note. You had something to say about Legally Blonde? It's
no,
a downer. It's a downer song, but it's good. It suits its purpose. Let's not end on gay or European.
Yeah. We could talk about Oh My God, You Guys Remix. I don't know why it's titled a remix here and not, you know, what do they call those?
Andrew, what is your overall thoughts on Legally Blonde and your cheese rating?
Oh my God. Okay, I think that it's good. I think that it's a fun watch. I mean, you know, just empty your mind and let it wash over you. Remember your early 2000s self who would have thought that gay people are funny. Just remember that, you know?
Just because they exist as gay people.
Yeah, remember when in middle school when you would say the word gay and then start laughing? Just remember that when the time comes. And the rest of it, you can just laugh because it's funny. And you know what? My recommendation for it would be to eat a lot of gummy bears, because that's the only way you'll enjoy it unless you're a weird female tween or teenager. Otherwise, it's a little bit too off the wall and not enjoyable. And
that actually sounds like a Ben Shapiro podcast.
Yeah, you might enjoy this if you're one of the people that might enjoy something like WAP, but if you're actually a real true musician who actually enjoys music theory and has a father who taught him how to play violin, then you're not going to enjoy this at all. So actually, I would say, hypothetically, we should just throw this out and get rid of it because it's not a good show. None of the music is funny. Nothing is good. That's my Shapiro. That's what I've got.
That's actually a really good Shapiro.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I give you a 10 out of 10 there. Holy shit. We need to have Ben Shapiro review all of our musicals. Once again, at Jason Robert Brown and Ben Shapiro. Because apparently Ben Shapiro's never made a woman wet. And he says it's biologically impossible for a woman to be wet.
I checked and my wife is dry all the time, 24/7.
I whip out my penis and she's just...
It's like the desert.
Ah, perfect.
So I think
perfectly
these women
dry,
are wet.
Just the way I like it.
I think these women with wet ass pussies need to go see a doctor because that is not healthy.
Wet ass P words?
We got three Ben Shapiros here. All right, Bree.
Wait, I didn't give a cheese rating.
Oh.
Yeah, give a cheese rating and then Jess, your turn.
I don't know. I'm looking up cheese that's related here, but I've got...
You're all failures. All right.
How about,
how about a
blondie cheesecake? Apparently that's a thing, so I'm going with it.
A+, man.
A+.
Juliet, our keeper of the cheese, please shame Andrew and Bree for not coming up with cheese ratings in the spreadsheet.
No, I have something.
All right, what do we got? How do you think our discussion was?
It was good. I liked it. I think you made fun of some people a lot. It was great.
What?
I don't know.
What did we make fun of?
We didn't make
fun
of
anything. Were we cyberbullying people?
We're making fun. Well, you were very mean to a lot of people. You said you didn't like a lot of people this time around. You're like, I hate critics, and I hate that guy that says he doesn't make his wife's pee-pee.
Do you think Ben Shapiro's wife won't piss on him?
Look, as Ben Shapiro himself, Ben Shapiro cannot be cyberbullied because Ben Shapiro is the ultimate cyberbully. So, really, I'm not being cyberbullied right now. I'm actually cyberbullied.
I want a woman in the heat of the sexual encounter say, you'll make my pee-pee wet.
I was trying to censor it. Okay. I am choosing a pink Prosecco cheese.
Oh, that's actually a really
good
one.
It's pink cheese.
That's good. That's good.
And because, you know, pink, legally blonde cheese. Mash them together, you get pink cheese.
Legally blonde pink cheese. I got it. It's beautiful. Much better than mine, not gonna lie. Better than Andrew's, too.
Yeah, Andrew.
Step up your fucking game, dude. This isn't a fucking joke to us.
You're a joke.
Yeah. Just ask the patrons. They know that. I love Legally Blonde. It's a great show that I didn't expect to like as much as I did. I am very happy to add it to like my playlist of shit I listen to on my bike ride. It's a great, great, great energy rising show that makes me feel like I ate a lot of gummy bears, but in the way that my heart starts racing and I can't feel my arm, you know, that kind of really nice feeling that you feel every now and then. But I am giving this Emmental de France Bloc with 28% fat cheese from L. Envire Professional Cheeses. Because L. Woods.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Andrew.
Shut up, Jess.
Andrew is checked out.
He's probably had a very long day and isn't
just,
really into
this. When you turn into Ben Shapiro, you just immediately fucking...
Just knowing that you're Ben Shapiro and you've never satisfied a woman, like, that must really suck.
It hurts. It's bad, you know? It's like, man, all I've got going for me is tons of money from the Koch brothers and really nothing else. That's it.
Do you know who Ben Shapiro's cousin is?
I don't.
Mara Wilson is Ben Shapiro's cousin and they have each other blocked on Twitter.
That's hilarious.
That is fucking great. You know who else is fucking great?
Not Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, definitely not Ben Shapiro, but our wonderful patrons. Thank you guys for listening. Please follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Musicals with Cheese. If you could right now, you probably have your phone in your hand. Leave us a very nice review on iTunes. We need to get them numbers up because, you know, we need higher numbers. Come on. We're all about numbers. We're all about metrics, and they're going to kick us off the fucking Broadway Podcast Network if we don't bring up our fucking numbers. So
that's not true.
So please. Get your shit together. We're on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals. Our Patreon is Musicals with Cheese. Our Instagram is Musicals with Cheese. Our YouTube page is Musicals with Cheese. We have a patron-only podcast, Fosse Verdon. I think that should be wrapping up soon. But we also have a commentary up there on Oliver and Company. Probably. It should be up there. Our email is musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. If you're Ben Brantley or Ben Shapiro or Jason Robert Brown, feel free to send us hate mail, but only if you're those three people. Our title card is created by the amazing Jolene Casco. Go send her love at Jolene Casco on Instagram. This show is produced by the absolutely incredible, wonderful Brianna Jones. We love you, Brianna. Thank you for making this show possible.
What? It was going on without me.
Oh my God. Oh my God, you guys.
Oh my God. Oh my God, you guys.
Did you actually listen to the song and like while we were talking?
No.
You just picked up a.
I just sang it so well that it just came through.
Oh my God. Oh my God, you guys. All right, guys. We will see you next time on Musicals with Cheese.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com. And of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.